So hipsters is a good segue into that's the end of this episode.
You're listening to Almost Viral, the podcast that brings you news, videos, games, and ideas no one shared with you until now. Now, here are your hosts of Almost Viral, Greg and Matt.
Welcome to Almost Viral. This is episode 2, and I am Matt.
And I'm Greg.
And this week, we're going to talk mainly about a music video of a song that is going to be stuck in your head until our next recording. So I'm going to apologize for that now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, and you're welcome.
Yeah, this is a doozy. But before we talk about that, do we want to revisit our last talk of obsessions? I know that was kind of the idea we had, and mine.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, I'll start because mine was easy. Mine fizzled out the second we were done recording because my attention span is about.
Did you think about it since then?
Not at all. No, not until I was editing the episode and I went, "Oh yeah, that was an interesting idea. I'm not going to do that."
That's cool.
But I am actually well more interested in your last obsession, your smartwatch.
Yeah, so I'm still wearing it right now.
Okay. You're far past the return date, because I remember she specifically told us it was going to be like the 21st of December or something. Yeah, was it January? Either
I
or
think
you're
it
past
was January.
It. Okay.
But I'm liking it. There's updates and stuff and apps. It's all right. I mean, it's whatever. I don't know if I could recommend it to anybody, but it works for me now that I'm used to it. So that's it. I was really excited about it, but now it's just something like, hey, I'm going to charge this and wear it. So,
well, that was my two main questions were, well, the first was, if you still had it, what'd you do? You told me that before we were recording. My second question was, having listened to the episode again, well, having edited it and listened to it before we recorded our second episode, I did recall you saying about app should be coming out. So I went on the site to look things up, and maybe it's because I'm not a user or have a user account or own one, but I could only see watch faces. Okay. Is there other things available?
They just released the 2.0 version, and on iOS, it's fully released. On Android, it's beta. So I installed the beta, and it has cool stuff like the Nest thermostat, so I can adjust the temperature in my house without messing around with the app on my phone. It's got a rep counter and exercise counter for at the gym. Really good music control apps. So if I'm at the gym and I have my earbuds in, you know, I can just change the volume and everything with my watch and just leave my phone in my pocket the whole time. So that's okay. Primarily what I use it for.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't make too much. Well, I can still make fun of you because I'm kind of wearing a less than dumb watch. It's not a smart watch. Christy got me the Fitbit Force for Christmas. So
is that Nike?
No, it's Fitbit is the brand.
Oh, okay.
So it's got an app on the phone, and it counts my steps, my miles, my stairs.
Oh, cool.
And things like that, my active minutes. And I can
Does that also track your sleeping?
Yes, that's the big thing I use it for, because I didn't realize how much I toss and turn at night. Because, like, we'll say in about an 8-hour average, I probably lose about 70 minutes of quality sleep, I've now found out.
Wow. Yeah. So how do you fix that now that the watch told you?
I have no idea. That's what I'm saying.
That's good to know.
It's a little slightly less, little more than dumb watch. It's not very smart. Okay, it's told me all this information, but I have no idea what to do about it.
That's what I found out with these smart devices on your wrist is it tells you stuff that may not be useful because either way, you like your sleep thing, you can't address that.
Right.
Or, hey, I got a text on my watch. I need to address it. Let me get my phone. Well, I thought my friend told me that one will vibrate if you get a call or text or something, but I won't tell you what it is.
No.
Is that false?
Not natively. Now, it does work along with a lot of other apps, and the only one I have it connected to is Map My Run. That way I don't have to track the put in any miles or anything like that. There may be an intermediary app that does that connects it, but I haven't looked into it. So I'm not going to say it doesn't. Maybe it does.
Okay, so you'd recommend that for anyone who's a runner, active person?
You know, I wouldn't recommend this one in particular. There's one that's it's another wrist device, but it doesn't have a display on it, but it's about $30 to $50 cheaper if you are just going to use it. I really only use it to track that information. I barely even use it as a watch because I've gotten so used to looking at time on my phone. Right. I would get the one that's the next step down and save yourself a couple bucks, because does everything this one does, the display just isn't there. So
okay,
that's my recommendation.
Awesome. Very nice.
Yeah.
So what are your obsessions in the last week?
Okay. Two? I'm not having an obsession so much as a interest that's taking a lot of my time lately, which I guess you could say is an obsession, but I'm not really,
it's not a problem yet.
Yeah. I'm not trying to figure things out the way I would with a normal obsession. I'll explain it. I've really started getting into listening to a lot of audio dramas and audio plays rather than just podcasts. And I'm downloading a lot of them, and I'm actually buying some, but I'm not learning anything about them. Like the professional ones I'm buying and listening to. Whereas if in a normal situation with my obsession, I would download it and then just start searching out the entire history of it. I haven't gotten that far yet, but I could see that happening. So my obsession, even to myself, is a little disappointing this recording. I did try. I tried to get a little more obsessed. And I actually tried to think, is there anything else I'm obsessing about? Not really. I mean, not for very long term. This is the only thing that I've started since I talked to you that has continued. So I'm going to imagine that this could possibly grow into something. Like, I'm going to find one that I want to know the backstory about and want to know how the I can't believe I haven't spent countless hours trying to figure out how some of these recording processes went with the interest I have in recording these podcasts, but I haven't yet. But I see the potential there. So, sorry. That's a little disappointing, I think. But
okay. No, that's cool. So they're just plays that are like a podcast,
they're but it's a play. Scripted, so it's like a scripted story.
So it's like a, you know, an audio book that's actually acted very well with multiple people.
Multiple people being the big thing, and no narration. Like when you read a book, it would say, like, you know, Greg walked into the door, he saw Jewel there and said, and then you'd hear Greg's voice, whereas you don't have any of that description. You just have the acting out. It's like, you know, like pulling the audio out of a movie almost.
Nice. So where would someone go if they wanted to just see some introduction kind of ones?
You know what? I'll tell you. Let me look at my bookmark, because after a bunch of searching, I found a site that had all the ones I had already listened to and all the ones and a lot I didn't. There's a website called theaudiodramadirectory.com, and they have them categorized into action, crime, fantasy. They even host like the public domain old time radio stuff, drama, horror, science fiction. The list just goes on comedy, fan fiction. I haven't listened to much fan fiction stuff. That tends to be, unless, I mean, maybe like a Star Wars or a Star Trek I might be interested in, but like primarily there's a lot of Doctor Who is what I'm trying to say. I'm not a Doctor Who fan.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, this site, I would jump right to this site now, because I had just done, you know, bits and pieces on iTunes and internet searching, and now everyone I found through those methods are on this and a shitload more. So
okay.
Do we curse on this podcast? I forget.
We do a little, okay, but good. If it gets out of control, we bust out the bleeper.
Okay, good. So what I just said was okay?
Yeah.
All right, good. So should have asked before I said that, but...
No, it doesn't matter. I said batshit crazy on the first episode.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So I have two.
Now, this is what I've... Yeah, I was really trying to blow through my obsession as quick as possible, because you teased this to me before we started recording, and I just wanted to get to yours, honestly.
So I'll start with the lesser one. I don't know why. I mean, you know me. I've spin vinyl, you know, DJing, making mixes and stuff like that. But I've been collecting vinyl a little bit off and on, but not very much, like one or two records a year. But I really got into it, and I bought a listening turntable for my main room of my house. So I've been listening to vinyl.
Oh, okay.
And just buying lots and lots of records. And, you know, when you're obsessed with something, you're not going to buy a record and be like, let me really enjoy this, and then I'm going to move on. I bought maybe 20 or 30 and they're full albums. And it's a really cool experience, because I'm the kind of person that just listens to the best songs from every artist I like. And that's it.
Gotcha.
And it's a lot more intimate of an experience that I put the record on. You know, I have Spotify and stuff, but putting the record on and listening to an whole album, it's kind of interesting to listen to other songs that I never would normally listen to. So I've been enjoying that.
Okay, so
that's latest one.
You've bought up to 30 albums. How many have you listened to completely so far?
Eight?
Okay.
So Every day, like if I'm in my kitchen or around, I'll throw a record on and listen.
You're buying them faster than you can listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely past, your obsession is deeper than mine right now.
Yeah, my credit card sucks.
How are you getting them?
There's a record store. One of my buddies works at, okay. His family has in town. I've been just going there. They have pinball machines. So I've been playing pinball. Oh, cool. And then buying too much records, too many records.
Too much records.
And now, yeah, too much records. Now, the latest obsession started about 3.5 weeks ago. My brother, you know, my oldest brother lived out in Portland and he recently moved back. And he's like, hey, I'm going to go out rock climbing. And I was like, cool, that sounds fun. So we went to Madison and we went bouldering. And I haven't heard this term. Have you before?
No.
Bouldering is rock climbing without a rope. You just only go up, like, I think it's like 12 to 15 feet max.
Oh, that's all.
But you start really low, like almost with your butt on the ground, and they have different ratings. So there may be like 8 handholds or 10 total holds to get to the top in the end, and you have to get through them, and they have different ratings on all of them. So we did that one time. Okay. And then I was like, oh, we got to open up one in town. It would totally do well in Rockford. We have nothing like that because we had to drive 1 hour and 20 minutes to get to this place. And we looked at my office building and the ceilings weren't high enough. We're going to open one there.
Oh, okay. Right.
So then I was just thinking around. I'm getting frustrated and I'm thinking, where can I put a bouldering gym or bouldering walls? And then it just clicks that, hey, the tallest ceiling in my house is in my Four Seasons room. So I have this Four Seasons like back porch, but it's, you know, finished and heated and everything.
Okay, gotcha.
So we went out and we planted it. And my buddy Mike's really a crafty guy. Mike, who also does Arcade Impossible with me.
Okay.
We bought some 4x8 sheets of the plywood, the correct thickness that they use for bouldering walls. We put the T-nuts 100 per board on the back so we can make it really dynamic and move around the grips. And we made a climbing wall and ceiling in my back porch.
Mm.
And it's eventually going to cover all of it. And we're going to post a picture on the Almost Viral Facebook page for you guys to see. So that's what I've been doing. And it's a really good workout. But a lot of people that come over are like, what the hell?
I'm assuming this is the one you thought I was going to kind of be jaw dropped to me.
Yeah. So now I'm curious. What are your thoughts on that?
Not really. I mean, like you said, when you started this off, I do know you. So it's, you know, at first it was a little surprising, but ultimately not so much.
Okay.
I could see that. I'm surprised that you didn't make it work in your buildings, that you could turn it into yet another business. That's actually more surprising.
Yeah. The ceilings were maybe 7.5 feet tall.
Yeah. Okay.
Where in my Four Seasons room, it's 10 at the peak or 9 at the peak. So,
you know, that's funny. In this office, it's the peak is, I think, 12. I could build one on the opposite wall.
I'm going to fly down this year. We're going to make a bouldering wall.
Sounds good. When I'm bored with other podcasts I'm on, I'll just get up and start climbing.
Yeah. So I was like joking with my friends because I stream live on twitch.tv. playing video games and arcade games and Robotron and stuff, that I was just going to stream randomly and all the followers get a notification. And when they tune in, it's just going to be me climbing on this
right,
bouldering wall. I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? Just just climbing around. Watch this sweet one-handed move. I'm going to hang cliffhanger.
How many times have you fallen?
Slipped and just fallen back?
Yeah.
Maybe once.
Oh, okay.
But at the bolt, and we don't have pads yet. We just rip off the couch cushions and use those if we're getting crazy.
Gotcha.
But
I didn't even think of putting pads on. So you're already a step ahead of me.
Yeah.
I would just
fall. But hanging on the ceiling is pretty tough, but it's a crazy workout, man.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, if I do come out there for either convention or just a visit, I will try it. I'm not saying it'll be a great success, but I'll try it.
Did you say intervention?
No. Any convention.
Oh.
Although.
You come out here for an intervention.
Either potato, potato, convention, intervention.
I seriously thought that's what you said. I was like, really?
Yeah, booze.
Yeah.
How's that beer?
I'm drinking Mirapond, and it's delicious.
Mirapond. I want to check that out.
Schutz Brewery. It's my favorite beer.
DESCH.
U-T-E-S.
Doesn't ring a bell. I wonder if that's, there's like the liquor laws between states are so strange.
Yeah. Like I want to order some birch beer, speaking of states.
Well, that's, yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
So good.
Especially when it explodes in your backpack.
I forgot about that. Ah, birch beer and cheesesteaks every meal. And cheesecakes.
Okay. Anything else on your obsession before we move on here?
No, just that. So definitely check out the Facebook page.
I want to see that
picture. Yeah.
You put a picture on your Facebook page, didn't you? This sounds familiar.
One of my friends did.
And oh, I didn't okay.
Too, because we didn't have everything up yet.
Gotcha. So. Okay. That might be why it wasn't so surprising either.
Yeah. You're like, whatever.
Greg's doing stuff again.
Stupid guy.
Stuff. All right. Well, let's move into I'm going to blow through my podcast of the week quick here because I really want to get to our main subject now.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about this.
So, my podcast of the episode, I should say, because it's or the month. This is last week I shared one that would be a real interest to you and you know, an interest to me because I was listening to it. This one I will admit probably has zero interest to you whatsoever. But it's one I've been listening to for a while. I was actually listening to it before we even started doing the show back in November, our first test recording. But it's called Two True Freaks at twotruefreaks.com. And it's mainly a comic book-based, if not solely-based, podcast series. So I don't even know if you even like comic books at all.
Not really.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought so, because we've never talked about it before. And generally, I don't either, but when I do like a subject or a genre or something, I tend to get like really, well, obsessed about it. And one of the things is Star Wars, and they have covered all the Star Wars comics. And I've always had trouble reading comics that just, I lose interest like in the second page. I end up just flipping through and looking at the pictures and trying to get the gist of the story. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll report it almost panel per panel, not so much, but page for page, pointing out the specific parts of the panel. So I can listen to these podcasts and get the story, which is what I want to get out of the comic, without having to try to force myself to read the comic. So that's why it's been interesting to me all this time. I've listened to their entire run. They did the Marvel stuff, which was out when I was a kid, which was out literally before you were born, that I've never been able to read to get through. So now I've run through their entire coverage of that. So I'm glad that I've gotten to know those stories. And now they're moving on to the the stuff after that. So that's cool. I don't have to try to force myself to read those. I can just listen to this podcast.
So they're describing what's going on. Are they trying to paint the picture for you too? Or is it just like describing the story?
Not so much. They do the story. Unless there's something really cool, then they'll talk about that. But mainly telling the story, which is, you know, I like that. And they do, that's the one I listen to. They do a bunch of the Indiana Jones comics. They do the Star Wars, Star Trek comics. They do their other big one, which I tried listening to, but hadn't gotten much through yet, is The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Maybe once the show's over, I might go back and listen to it, because that's a different beast, because this isn't a continuation of something. It's an adaptation. So that I hadn't gotten into yet. And they do all kinds of other stuff too, but those are the big ones. So twotruefreaks.com. If you're interested in comic book stories, but don't really want to read them like I do, they do a great job covering a lot of the major titles. And it's
free, right? You don't have to buy comic books.
Nope. So. Not at all.
Nice. All right. So my video game suggestion of the week, month, is it's actually a ColecoVision game. Do you know the ColecoVision?
I used to love that. I used to play that there's a department store in my part of Pennsylvania called Lay's, not like the potato chips, spelled completely differently. And they used to have one set up with Donkey Kong playing. And my mother would go do her department store shopping, and I would just stand there playing.
Okay.
ColecoVision Donkey Kong forever. I thought that was always the best version of the three that were out, between that, Atari, and Intellivision.
Very nice. So this is actually done by a friend of mine, and it's a homebrew. And it's called Gamester81, the video game. So his YouTube name is Gamester81.
Gotcha.
And he's just like this, tons of knowledge this guy has about anything video game related. His collection's ridiculous. He did a homebrew Kickstarter fundraising event, and it's basically him getting sucked into the three arcade games or into a game, and it's variations like his take on Donkey Kong, Space Invaders, and Pac-Man. So it's not the exact ones,
okay,
but it's themed around it.
Yeah, okay.
And I just got it 2 weeks ago, a week ago, and it's really cool. You can check it out from GameStreet1.com, but the fact that I found a ColecoVision in the last month that was pretty cheap, and then I got this homebrew, brand new ColecoVision game. It's pretty fun, and I've been playing. You can see some gameplay on a high score website I run, scoreground.com. And we'll also post a link on our Facebook page of the gameplay. But it's pretty sweet if you have a ColecoVision to get a new game. And I'm going to be trying to, actually tonight after we're done recording this, I'm going to try to set some high scores and upload them.
Oh, cool. So you didn't have a ColecoVision before this? That was
no.
Wow. Oh, okay. I know your vintage, or not vintage, but your entire console game collection is extensive. I didn't realize that was one that's been missing all this time.
It's been missing. It's been hard to find. And locally, I found one pretty cheap that was really clean. I've been an Atari 2600 guy, you know, an Atari guy. So ColecoVision, never really messed with it. So the other one that's really good, obviously, Intellivision is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one quite a bit.
I had the Atari, I had the 2600. My neighbor had the Intellivision, and we just would just go battle back and forth. Well, yeah. When it wasn't even, that was nice. We didn't have the, at first we had the kind of the, who had a better system more, but in the end it was just like,
Let's play both.
Yeah. It's like I would have games that Intellivision didn't have and vice versa. So we ended up, you know, just enjoying both sets.
He's like, I have overlays that I can put on my controller. And you're like, I don't have to put stupid overlays on my controller.
Right. I don't need a number pad because I'm having fun. I'm not learning.
Very nice.
All right. Should we get into...
Let's get into the meat of it.
Jen, okay. This is very quickly spiraled out of control. So we're going to do our best to present this and reel it in. Let me give a little backstory on this. Now, I said in our first episode, we both talked about it in our first episode of this podcast, that Greg and I had done a podcast before called the D13 Show with another friend of ours, Dave, and he had found this video that he posts on our blog way back when called I don't want to lose you tonight. I don't want to use you tonight either in this video, but I don't want to lose you tonight by a singer, writer, songwriter, whatever, named Jan Terry. And it, I don't even know where to begin.
That sigh was amazing.
Okay, so we opened this video. Oh, man. There's... Greg had a question while we were watching it, what year this was. I don't know. I don't see anything in the YouTube description. I'm on our wiki page. Unfortunately, oh, wait, hold on. I may have just found something. Lose You, 1993? No, it's no. Losing You. That's a different song. Oh, sorry. Okay. It's got to be 80s. I mean, judging by that car, late 80s, early 90s at best. It can't be any earlier than that, I think. But anyway, starts up. She's being picked up from a fancy hotel in this nice, well, this limo. I don't know how nice it is. And we start getting the introduction to the, what is that called? The stanza of the song where she says the same thing over and over again?
The chorus.
Chorus, yeah. Thank you. That is what it's called, the chorus. So we're introduced to the chorus of the song, which will now be stuck in everyone's head that's heard that. There's no, you can't get it out.
If I didn't have such a good ringtone for you when you called me, like, hey, there's a Donkey Kong kill screen coming up, I would put this as a ringtone for when you call.
That would be a good one. In fact, it might be yours because I lost, since I've lost your old ringtone.
That's awesome.
So she's in the limo. There's a nice little shot of her just sitting in the limo. Again, this is something, much like the Fred and whatever her Sharon thing is, you have to see it to believe it, but we're doing our best to describe it. But now we're at the point in the song where she's like standing next to a high pressure like sewage pump. I don't know what the hell that pipe is she's standing next to. And who thought it was a good idea to shoot her on this backdrop?
I just have to say, supposedly she's a big deal, right? Like she's performed at a party for Marilyn Manson. I saw on the wiki page, her voice is terrible.
Yeah.
And the layering of her terrible voice does not make it any better.
No, it's just like double the problem. So moving on, let's watch a little more of this.
Oh my God, go to 155 and listen.
155. Going around in circles. Is that what you're talking about? We're able to play a little bit of the song. Now, this is also a visual, but I think more the Fred and Sharon thing was definitely more of a visual that you had to see. I encourage you to see this video because it certainly matches the song, but the song is a thing that you need to hear. I don't think there's any cure to get it out of your head now, and I apologize for that, but now you need to hear this entire song, and you can see it, you can hear it and see it on YouTube. Now, that is not really all of her story, and it leads to more questions that Greg had brought up when we first started looking at this. Now, like Greg had said, that might not have made it into the edit of this, is that she has somewhat of a career. I mean, she's accomplished things as a singer.
Right. She's listed on all Google Play, iTunes, all that stuff. She's, you know, performed for a party for Marilyn Manson. She's been on The Daily Show.
Yes. So
they don't. That really confuses me.
So the questions you bring up are kind of a chicken or the egg type situation. Did she get these gigs by being a solid performer, or has she snowballed into the career she has now as a musician because of these things that were, in a sense, making fun of her or making light of her performance or her talents, but they've, you know, helped snowball her into what she's doing now? Or I don't know. Here's the funny thing though, and you'd be more apt to explain this than me. She's a musician from Chicago, and you were pretty sure that some of those shots, if not all those shots, were from Chicago's skyline, right?
I think so.
Now there's always regional performers that, you know, don't necessarily make it completely nationwide or make it just a little bit nationwide, but you've never heard of this person before.
Never.
No. And this is not like a local type of music that you're aware of, I'm assuming.
Not bad, at all,
you know. Okay. So I don't know. I mean, she's got a Facebook page like everybody else in the world. Her Facebook page has a link to her website, which is mainly, you know, a place to buy her music and buy other merchandise, which one of which is gift wrap, which is, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Wow.
Yeah. She's got four albums, Janitary Baby Blues, Janitary High Risk, Janitary the Wild One, and No Rules.
And so what I want to know.
Okay. That's, yeah, you're probably thinking the same thing I am, or relatively close.
Yeah, Fred and Sharon are so ridiculous. It's like, is this really them? Or did they do something? They got attention, even though they're like, let's be weird on the internet.
Right.
And they just kept going with it. Or did their nephew put them up to it? Like, yeah, let's get a viral video.
Right.
That's what I, you know, think. Are they still real? But they've done so many videos that I think, and I think you're the same, that Fred and Sharon are authentic and genuine. That's who they are.
Yeah. If they didn't have the body of work they had, I wouldn't think that.
Right. But this, now she has this body of work, so I'm even more confused. And is she real? Is this real talent, or is this her just riding this awkward wave of people just dragging her along because it's interesting and funny? I don't know.
I don't know. And I don't, yeah, it's, there's like just enough information to raise more questions than to get any answers.
So if you know anything about Jean Terry, please post it on the Facebook page so we know. Like, if you're the number one fan of Jane Terry, I'm sorry, but please enlighten us because we're ignorant.
Yeah. So, the bottom line of this, well, there is no bottom line is whether it's real or not. The bottom line of it for me is that everyone in the world needs to hear this song and get it stuck in their head for as long as I had it. And that might be a vengeful thing for me to say, but
it's, yeah, like,
needs to be heard.
When you have those get-togethers with your parents or your friends and you're like, hey, let's watch a couple YouTube videos. Bring this one up and just see what they say.
Yeah. And it stands the test of time because Greg and I saw this first, like, anywhere up to 5 years ago, and he's we've both forgotten about it, and we were talking a lot about it before we started recording, and now it's become the major focus of this episode. And it really, and it wasn't scheduled to be. It was supposed to be something completely different.
Yeah, so. It still has that charm.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Check it out. Check it out. The link will be in the show notes. And we'll probably actually just post the video directly on our Facebook page now, too.
Sure.
Of something we were discussing earlier.
Yeah.
So that is that. Okay. No, that's not all I have to say about Jen Terry. That's all I'm going to say about Jen Terry this episode.
Same here. Yeah. Till we'll have a follow up on
that. Yeah. Right.
Do more research.
Exactly.
Oh, I want to get her on the show.
That would be awesome.
Oh, so we actually have some Facebook questions, and I didn't really pose a specific question. I just said, ask a question and we'll answer it. Yeah. So first one is from
Daz. He writes like he talks.
Weird. This one's from Daz, and he says, favorite vintage PC and why? And I'm going to go ahead and take it. I'm going to say the Commodore 64. Just because I remember a friend down the street having one. I didn't have one personally or in my family, but that is the first vintage PC that I was just like, oh, there's so many games, because there's ridiculous amounts of games for the Commodore 64. I believe like over 9,000 or 10,000 games. Like, they just shoveled the crap out of it. And you had the cassette player and the 5 1/4 or whatever it is diskette. And the cartridge to make it load faster than 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Dave from D13 show had one, and I used to, and he had that. Nice. He had that too. He had that device. So
that, and if I could get one, you know, that was based on nostalgia, but if I could get one now, definitely the Amiga, because I played one in Australia last year, and that thing's impressive, man. Like, it plays really good quality games. So, Commodore 64 for me. How about you?
I don't know that I necessarily have a favorite, because I had an Apple IIc was my first computer, then I had like no computer forever, and then I had like a 386 and just went from there. So I guess if I, based on that, I'd have to say the Apple IIc, just because
did you play Oregon Trail on that?
Oh, hell yeah. Of course I did. And I died of dysentery
and scurvy and all that. That's awesome.
But that's,
I played that too.
Yeah.
Same computer.
Okay.
So 2C.
I guess that's, just a lack of much of a history of them. I'd have to go with that one.
All right. Next one comes from Michael Townley Towns. That's a name. Best terrible, but I love it game ever played. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. It's
off, right off the cuff.
Terrible, but I love it. That is a tough one. Probably Anteater. Oh, Domino Man's pretty bad, but I love watching that too. No, I think I'll go with Domino Man. Domino Man. That one's horrible. You're looking through your stack of games right now, aren't you?
I know. I'm going to need a minute, so we'll cut this out.
Circus Atari is a guilty pleasure for me for Atari.
I love Circus Atari.
Oh, okay.
Well, like, if I love it, it's not a terrible game.
That's true, yeah.
terrible game that everyone else hates, but I, okay. All right, I got mine.
All right.
So my terrible game that people don't like, but I really like, this goes back to when I was a kid, and it's actually Parappa the Rappa for the PlayStation 1. Okay. And it's like a rhythm game where you're like, kick, punch, block, chop, a la kicky.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I've seen that, and I've probably even played it.
My brothers and their friends would kind of make fun of me for playing that. And they would just like taunt me like, this game's stupid. You're stupid. Pretty much. Yeah. But I really liked it. And it turns out that I was right ahead of the, you know, my taste was ahead of its time.
Yes,
because now a lot of people like it.
You're a trendsetter.
Is that what it means?
I don't know. But now you can say I liked it before it was cool. And you can be
I want to be a hipster.
You can be a hipster. That's right. A game hipster.
Let me drink PBR bottles at a bar. And I'm dressed like a homeless person saying how good Parappa the Rapper was. And yes. I don't like it now, but I liked it before you did.
Right.
Oh, hipsters.
Yes.
So hipsters is a good segue into that's the end of this episode.
Because I don't want to talk no more about hipsters.
I don't want to talk anymore. But please check us out on Twitter and Facebook under Almost Viral. Post questions for us for the next episode. And please give us any kind of feedback. You love it, you hate it, suggestions on iTunes. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and thanks for the feedback that we have gotten so far. Feel free, good or bad, to tell us what you think. We will certainly listen to it, but that wasn't very well thought out. Just don't comment on that last sentence. Wait. Please.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks for listening to Almost Viral. Almost Viral is a neozaz.com and Arcade Impossible co-production. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, visit neozaz.com. Visit Arcade Impossible's YouTube channel at youtube.com/arcadeimpossible. Catch all the latest Almost Viral episodes at almostviral.neozaz.com and follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/almostviral.